work together as the group at this point?
Yeah, well, the band started a couple of years ago, I guess fall of 2014. I had a girlfriend at the time that was working at Black Dog Smokehouse and Ale in Urbana, and she was working with a guy that was starting what became this project. And, you know, I sing and play guitar, and I guess they needed that. So we just all practiced together, and it jived, and kind of turned into a cool thing.
And how did you first become involved with music?
Oh, man. I think I started... my mom is a singer, and I'm kind of a church kid. And we used to have, like, a little family band that fronted this church that my dad pastored for way back in the day. And I think I got a desire for singing and playing guitar from my parents. My dad's a guitar player, and... I did choir in high school, and all of that just kind of developed into writing my own songs around, I don't know, 17 years old or so, and it's kind of all developed from there.
So how would you describe the type of music that Uriah plays?
Yeah, we get defined in the category of the Midwest emo kind of thing, and I think our first EP is definitely... that it's an emo pop rock EP, and the new stuff still has a lot of that in it, and that's pretty much the main inspiration, kind of along the lines of the Intuit Over It side of things, I think, up to this point.
So you said Midwest emo. Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me because it makes me think that the Midwest evokes certain kinds of emotions or kind of has a particular kind of aesthetic in terms of this, mm-hmm. this music. Do you think that's true? What, you know, how does the Midwestern feel, you know, fit into what you're doing in terms of other genres?
I think that just because the winters are so long here, I think kids just, really have a lot of time to sit down and think a lot. And,
there's a certain kind of depression, is that what you're saying?
That comes along with being part of this area of the country. I mean, I grew up in New Mexico, and I've lived in Illinois for 10 years or so, so it's definitely hit me, that whole genre of it. But I think from what I can tell, it seems like that, and it's developed into, like, you know, a lot of people have a lot of time to sit down and think, and then are also very creative people, and you find a lot of good bands in that.
So, obviously, Champaign Urbana, it has a very vibrant music scene. Lots of different kinds of music are really exciting here, especially kind of in the indie, like, shoegaze kind of genre. Mm-hmm. How do you think your band fits in more broadly with the kind of music that's being made in Champaign Urbana? And I'm always interested if people think there is a CU sound. Some people seem to think there is, and some people are strongly opposed to that idea. So, where do you fit in that camp?
Oh, there's so much music here. And that's so cool to see. And there are definitely different sections of it, you know. The Fights and the kind of the countryside of things, it's like a fantastic country band in this area. But I think we're along more of the side of, you know, definitely with the kind of that, like, emo thing hanging over our heads. Single Player, I think, is a band from town that we fit really well with. We've done some shows with the Weathershins, so, you know, that shoegazy side of it. I think that it definitely fits in that, especially with our newer material. It's kind of has a more airy vibe to it, and minor feel, as far as keys are concerned.
That fits with the kind of general, like, mm-hmm. sadness and contemplative yeah. attitude that you're describing earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think on that end of it, yeah. And but, I mean, it's cool, since we have some tunes that are a bit more upbeat. You know, I think we've fit pretty well on a bill with, like, Terra Terra as well. And that side of it, and way back in the day, like We the Animals, but yeah, kind of that part of the scene.
What is it like to perform live for you? What kinds of things do you think about, either right before you're going on stage or as you're performing?
Oh, I'm always nervous about it, all the time. that's my thing. I think I've always had kind of a lot of worry about a live show. But I love playing songs, and I love writing songs, and that's I feel like my true passion. I think a lot of it before shows is just like making sure I have my nerves in check, and you know, I put a lot of practice into you know, pre-show, and I think that's generally it.
So, Uriah has a new album coming out in just a couple months. Congratulations. That's very exciting.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. We're at the tail end of a long period of writing.
Tell me about what that period has been like. What is kind of the idea that binds this album together, or how did you know that this was going to be an album at the very beginning stage of the project?
We had a song on our first EP named Start Over New, and the lyrical content in that is about my brother, his ongoing struggle with drug addiction, and kind of the effects that's had on me and my family, and trying to bring like an honest element to that and just visit it, because it's something that, you know, you're going through, you got to do something. And very shortly after the first EP was done, I wrote the first song on the upcoming EP. I wrote the beginning of that. It's the title track for the record. And I just kind of decided I needed to, at that time, because things were starting to progress in a way that it was getting really bad with him, and seeing my parents kind of go through that struggle, that I really kind of needed to visit it, and I wanted to complete that thought. And that's kind of what it all turned into, was I wanted to write a record that sounded different than our first EP, that kind of pulled us a little bit out of that emo title, in the typical sense. And just spent a year revisiting like a ton of lyrics, a ton of content, trying to write something that was cohesive
in that. So tell me a little bit more about your process of writing this album. You said it was, you know, at least a year of kind of like thinking through and sorting through these ideas. What kind of spaces did you work in during that time? What kind of like is the actual process of putting together songs for you?
Yeah, I usually I'm really, really into maybe one or two records at the time that I'm really writing something. I really kind of visit that. For this EP, it was Pianos Become the Teeth Keep You. And I heard that record, and it's, if anybody that's listening hasn't heard that, it's so worth a listen. It's just very heavy lyrically, and it is a kind of a death record about his father, and I was so into that and the sound of that, and trying to bring elements of that into what we were already doing. And kind of with that in mind, you know, writing the first song, Passenger, that was really just, that one started out with the very first melody. It's probably the first thing that I wrote there. And then figuring out what kind of tuning I want to play in. So I do that, try to change the strings around. And just kind of going from there, trying to write out the beginnings of a song, and then revisiting and just taking every little piece of it. Like, is this okay? Is this okay? I need to take this out, put something else in. Is this line, does this line mean something? Am I just trying to fill space here? It's kind of like that.
It sounds like a lot of the writing, at least for Passenger, has been pretty solitary for you. What is it like to work with other band members, especially given that it sounds like this, like Passenger, it concerns very personal subject matters?
Yeah, it's been really awesome with this band, and I feel like so far, I've been in a lot of bands, but I feel like this is my favorite to be in so far, and I feel like the musicians I have around me are just the best and easiest to work with. We have a really, really good mentality in the practice space. and I've been able to bring these songs to them, and they've been very honest with me for feedback, and things get changed here and there, and it's just been such an easy process working with them. And I feel like they have added to these songs something that I wouldn't have been able to on my own, hands down. They're just, I mean, Austin is probably the best drummer that I've ever had, absolutely. Our guitar player, Dustin, I've worked with him in a couple of different bands in the past, and I've just always known he's such a good guitar player to have in a band. He kind of understands what fits, and he writes on his own, and same with Paul. They all just know what's going on and what needs to be there, and it's been really, really cool working with them.
So tell me a little bit about your recording process. What has it been like to be in the studio and putting these songs together?
Yeah, we spent a day at Earth Analog in Tolono to track the drums to tape. And then we converted to digital, and we took that to Men Ball in Chicago with Seth Engel. And he engineered it and mixed the record for us, and there was a lot of back and forth there of us talking about kind of what kind of sound we wanted with it. But really it was just a lot of gruesome tracking and dealing with the cold at the time, and I think
I'm noticing a theme, which is that you do not like the winter.
Oh, I hate it. It's the worst. I'm so not used to it. And it's been a decade I've been here, and it's still, it took me a few years to learn, like, oh, God, I need to buy, like, a good coat. I didn't know that was a thing that people did, you know? And I think after I bought a good coat, it's been okay, but it's still just, I always dread it at the tail end of every summer. It's just, it's coming. But really, yeah, I mean, we just all went in and tracked it. And it was, I think all of us are solid enough at this point in the studio where it was pretty easy. You know, I can be a little difficult to work with in the studio.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm always kind of this control guy, control-y dude. But I always just have a vision. It's probably just because I wrote the songs for the most part. And just have, like, kind of this vision of how everything needs to sound. And then usually if somebody brings something to the table that's a little bit too far off from what I was thinking, it takes me a little while to warm up to it. And I just feel like we definitely produce something really, really cool with all of it. A lot of people had some parts in it as well. We had Emily Otness do a guest vocal on it. Had a guy from Grandkids do cello on one of the songs. Isaac Arms did some guitar on the last track of it. So, I mean, it was all awesome.
So, I was looking at the cover image for this EP, and there's like this photograph of these two children sitting in a very large chair, and they look like amazingly happy drinking cans of Coke or something like that. Could you talk about this image and talk more generally about the cover art that you've decided to choose for different things that your eye has put out?
Yeah, so that art being EP1's CD art is me and my brother sitting in that chair. and I think
that's... I was wondering about that. Yeah, yeah.
And there was even... We had a short run of... just got some, like, cardboard sleeves, and that picture was on the front. There's another one on the back of that, if anybody ever got that. It's me and my brother as well, and I'm wearing, like, this kind of slick blue shirt and these, like, circle sunglasses, and it's kind of funny. But it... Really, that was it at the beginning. Is one, I don't, I'm not good at taking pictures, or I've never really tried to you know, go like take a cool picture for the album art or do any kind of design work or anything like that. I just have a lot of pictures of me in the past, and if I look at one, I'm like, oh, this one's really cool, and then invokes a cool memory that I have with somebody, then usually I'll use that for something eventually. But the artwork for the record that is coming out, Isaac showed me that maybe 3 or 4 months into us deciding we were going to work together with the release. And he just sent that in a message, and he's like, I think that this is perfect. And I just looked at it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Can you describe what it looks like?
Yeah, it's just this guy walking, just kind of a guy walking, kind of just looks like a sad dude. Like a hoodie.
I like how you said sad dude and it cracked up.
That's just kind of, I guess, the vibe of all this. But yeah, he's just wearing a hoodie and kind of hunched over a little bit and walking through a lightly wooded area. And it just has a cool tone to it. And there was, I guess, the original picture was taken by Jordan Cunningham. And then there was a bit of editing done to it by Alex Locke. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but it's really cool. It's, I guess it's glitch art, but it kind of looks pixelated and things are kind of moved around and stuff. And just looking at that was, oh, this is so perfect. So that one I didn't, you know, that one wasn't really from anything. It was just a submission.
Does your brother know that you're writing an album that concerns his life in such a personal way?
Yes, he does.
Have you been able to talk with him about that and about writing the album in response to his life?
Yes. I got to show it to him. I got to show it to him a few weeks ago. And it's an interesting thing. It's a really, really heavy record, and I think that's really any family member I've showed it to, you know, like I've put a lot of names in this thing and talked a lot about a lot of personal things, and a lot of that was me sending out messages and making sure this is okay for me to do, especially with him, that the whole thing's about him, you know. And he understands at a certain level that everything that he's doing, that you know, affecting everyone. And so, yeah, he definitely knows about it. I don't know how he feels about it. There wasn't a falling out or anything like that. It was more of us just sitting in a car and him saying that he thought the songs were really good, and just kind of this odd thing. I don't really know how to explain it.
So, for Passenger, you've been working with Airship. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about what it is like to work with a label to put on an album in that way?
Yeah. It's nice. You know, Isaac's given a little bit of financial support, and that just goes a long way when you have somebody that's looking at something that's very local, you know, and pitching in and helping. Other things like our pre-order that we have set up, he organized all of that. Other things like what I was talking about earlier, the album art. There's a lot of stuff that he's taken off of our plate so that we can focus more on writing songs. And that has definitely, I feel like, has 100% shown in how we feel about it. We're all really, really happy with it and really excited about it. And it definitely wouldn't have been the same record if he hadn't been helping.
Do you feel like Airship has an identity that your band is fitting into?
An identity? I would guess just supporting local things. You know, that's a big vibe here in Champaign-Urbana. A lot of people supporting a lot of things that are going on, and it's really, really cool. And if there's any kind of vibe that Airship has, it's definitely that. He's paying attention to local artists. And if he's interested, it's not like this crazy draining like business talk of him saying like we need to sell blah blah blah. Like there's been nothing like that. He's just like, I believe in this and I want to pitch into this, and that's a really cool thing. And I would hope that we're viewed as a part of the local community here in Champaign as well.
We're now going to hear a track from Passenger. This is a track called Hesitation. Could you prepare us to hear this? What kinds of things should we listen to in this track, and what is this track about for you?
Yeah, this track is about the first time that he got in trouble with the law, actually. They were in Carlsbad, New Mexico, where I grew up. They were building a skate park. And before the concrete for the skate park was dried up enough, he went and wrote his initials, like his full initials, which we kind of poked fun at the time. He got caught, and some police came to the house, and just kind of having a vision of that and comparing to what's been going on now. So definitely, I think the lyrics in the song are forward enough. But that's what's going on in that song.
what's next for Uriah? What shows do you have coming up, and when's the official release of Passenger?
Yeah, we're playing a show in Carbondale on the 25th, so, but the next local thing, other than some acoustic gigs I do every now and then, really kind of tentative at this point, hopefully August. We're looking at August, we're trying to jump on something, but, you know, I can't talk about anything till it's done. If not that, then, you know, Pygmalion, we're doing Pygmalion in September, which is going to be really cool. But yeah, definitely the record's out in August. It'll be, we'll have everything by then and have it shipped out and all that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for having me.
Was all uptight. She said I've been gone much too long and I hadn't been treated right. I said I got news for you, baby. A man's got to have some space. Don't stop that crying. I put the tears are rolling down her face. And she told me, well, I love you, honey, and I need you, baby, but I can't cry no more tears. No more tears. No more tears. No more tears. Please, baby, no more tears. Something just wasn't right. My head was a reeling. My babe was closing up a suitcase tight. Said, I got news for you, boozer. I found me another man. He's so nice and loving, and he's asking me for my hand. Then she told me, well, I love you, honey, and I need you, baby, but I can't cry no more tears. No more tears. On my pillow, and I'm feeling like I'm half dead. 'Cause I loved you, honey, and I needed you, baby. Now I can't cry no more tears. No more tears.